My name is Sue Wallace, and I'm the United States Chair of the International Equine Business Association.
All right. Well, you put out a release from the International Equine Business Association regarding an announcement about horses being allowed in the European Union from plants in Mexico and Canada. First of all, tell us how this came about and what this means to the horse industry in the United States.
Well, essentially, when it first popped up, we honestly didn't know what to make of it. Here's what happened. Apparently, a veterinarian in France who was accepting a load of meat from Canada, one of two things happened. Either that EU veterinarian encountered a load of horse meat that was mislabeled, or possibly it was labeled correctly, and the veterinarian, for whatever reason, misinterpreted it. Anyway, the first thing we knew about it was when the plants in Mexico, a partner of a private company that I am involved with, has a plant down there in Mexico, and I got a call about noon on Friday of that weekend, and they said that the plant had been shut down by the European Union that morning, that they had been informed that they were no longer eligible to import meat to the European Union unless they could document that the horses, which originated out of the United States, had been in the country where the plant was, meaning either Mexico or Canada, for a minimum of 90 days. Well, of course, this threw everything into kind of a tizzy. The first thing that the plants did, of course, was notify their buyers and truckers in the United States to, you know, hold up, let's find out what's going on here. Of course, the buyers contacted the sale barns that they were planning on going to that weekend and said, hey, until further notice, we don't know what's going on, and we won't be buying horses this weekend. So the sales canceled sales, and from there, the rumor mill went ballistic, as it has a tendency to do anyway. But what we knew was that things do not happen overnight in the European Union. I mean, that's a system that in many ways, because there are so many different countries involved, is even more bureaucratic, for lack of a better word. But things take a long time to go through the process. So we knew things don't just happen overnight, so this was not some kind of sudden surprise move that nobody had been informed about, and we suspected that it was something like what it ultimately turned out to be. So, and of course, on a Friday afternoon, it was very difficult to get in touch with government employees in any country. So this whole thing kind of percolated along over the weekend, and come Monday morning, all of the plants in Mexico, and I believe in Canada as well, although I don't have nearly as direct connections there, were informed that the restrictions had been lifted. So everything was more or less back to normal. In the meantime, however, there were a number of animal rights activist groups who tried their darndest to blow this up into something that it most definitely never was. They tried to claim that this shutdown was because contaminated horse meat had been discovered. That was never the case. They tried to claim that because there were thousands of horses standing on trucks, stranded on the way to the border. We all needed to send them lots and lots of money, which, of course, is ridiculous because, as you and I both know, people who own horses that they're trying to get good value out of, if they don't have a market for them to go to, they're never going to walk on the truck in the first place. So, needless to say, it was short-lived. Turned out to be fairly, you know, a simple matter of making sure, I guess, that the loads were labeled correctly and the people that were receiving the loads on the docks knew what they were looking at. But it was a very good, I would say it brought into very sharp focus exactly how severe shutting down international commerce in horses or not allowing commerce of horses at all, what that's really going to do to the whole situation, and none of it is good.
Well, Sue, would you explain to me, explain to us why, what was misinterpreted or misread?
You know, I don't have much more detail than that, so that's why I can't say for certain. But the official communications between the European Union and the French Canadian government, you know, inspectors indicated that it had been a mislabeling incident and that it was resolved.
Oh, okay. I guess because I'm not familiar with this, the industry, why would you have the horses held for a minimum of 90 days? Can you give us...
Oh, well, that is the reason that they... there is a measure apparently working its way through the European Union that has a well-publicized date of July 2013, by which time all horses will need to be identified and have complete veterinary records for a minimum of 90 days. The Canadians are currently operating under 180 days, and what that is to ensure that no horse that is being processed for food has any kind of drug residue in them when they're processed. It's basically to ensure a sufficient withdrawal period to make sure that there are no drugs in the horse.
Oh, okay, so you said this is a measure that will go into effect or is a proposed measure?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. It's a European Union regulation, and because, Canada has already implemented a system that they use, as Mexico's system is slightly different, every horse that goes through the Mexican plants are microchipped. And the same way out of the Canadian plants, they have a kind of a little bit different take on it. But nonetheless, in Canada, unless it can be absolutely documented by a veterinarian and a few other things, then those horses are required to be sort of officially identified and in the food system under controlled circumstances, where all veterinary medicines are known for a minimum of 6 months. And those horses just like any other species of animal, when they're slaughtered, and in the plants, the inspectors take random samples of the carcasses, and if any sample comes back with any kind of unacceptable level of any substance, then the whole plant is shut down, every scrap of meat in the plant is condemned. And so the plants are all very, very careful to make sure that all of the animals that they are processing for food are clean and eligible for processing. And because that's the same everywhere for all species, the International Equine Business Association, one of the programs that we have established is the Equine Quality Assurance Program, which is, quite frankly, modeled after similar programs for other species. And that's a process and a documentation and a trail. So that meat can be literally tracked from pasture to plate if necessary and ensures that animals are eligible for processing.
As your association tries to ramp up domestic processing of horses once again in the United States, the majority, the bulk, are going to Canada and Mexico. So you said this was a wake-up moment. What exactly does this mean?
Because right now, between the two borders, something like 4,000 horses a week are going to Canada and Mexico, about 2,500 head a week going to Mexico, and less than that going to Canada. But nonetheless, and that's a higher number than usual, honestly, and it's due partly to the very serious shape of the horse economy in general, but, of course, the drought and the fires and the high cost of feed and all of those things are playing into it right now. So more horses are being sold than would actually be normal right now. But, if that incident would have lasted and not been just a quickly resolved issue, within 3 months, we would have had some 48,000 head of horses with nowhere to go. That is, in fact, more horses than the BLM is supporting on U.S. taxpayer dollars today.
Okay. Where do things stand now with your organization in your attempts to get a horse slaughter plant here in the United States?
Well, it's pretty positive because we went to Washington, D.C. a little over a month ago, I guess, now, and we were able to meet with the FSIS administrator, Al Almanza, and his deputy, Phil Durfler, and they told us that what they were doing, what was taking so long, is they were validating the science underlying the drug residue testing that they'll be doing in the horse plants here in the U.S. They expect to have that done in November or December, and they gave us a commitment that they would be ready to provide grants of inspection by the end of the year. So all of the companies that are angling in that direction are doing their best to be ready.
Okay. Did I read something this summer about there was some difficulties with securing a location in southwest Missouri that you guys may have run into for a plant there?
Well, we do. There's actually, yes, there is a plant in Missouri that is going to be open at Rockville. The reports that you're probably referring to was at the very beginning of that company's feasibility study. They were looking at three possibilities in Missouri, turning an existing industrial building into a processing plant. That was the first one ruled out. And even after they had pretty much made the decision that was not going to work, the activists, Wayne Pacelli in the Humane Society of the United States, a week after the riders came off of the Ag Appropriations Bill last fall, promised that should any horse plant anywhere seek to open, that they would ensure that there was local opposition and they would litigate to stop them. And we have, in fact, they're good to their word. They've been doing it every chance they get. So they caught wind that there was a possibility of a horse plant going in there, and they were able to stir up some so-called local opposition, but even then it was mainly out-of-state engineered by HSUS. But the plant that is going in is in a very small rural agriculture town that has an existing beef plant, and all of those people lost their jobs over a year ago, and they're very excited. And so those activist groups are having a little more difficulty stirring up trouble where people are very eager to have the economic opportunity and the good jobs and the ability to help restore the horse business come to their town.
Okay, and I do believe now that the more you talk about it, there was a local attorney, I believe, that's suing. Okay, and that suit is still pending, or?
No. They were she went out and found a debtor of the person who was selling the plant to the company, and told them that she would be happy to represent them for free if he would allow her to sue this owner. But, of course, he's selling the business. The reason he is selling the business was because he was in money trouble. So all of that will just simply be a moot question, and it gets taken care of when the place is purchased.
Okay. And are you still a partner in this particular plant?
Well, I'm certainly involved, but my role has changed somewhat. I'm really leading the marketing effort, and I won't be directly involved in the plants.
Okay. And given what you learned from the FSIS about some of the delay, you had originally said you thought it'd be open this fall. That's not going to happen, it sounds like. So when do you anticipate it?
And it's the thing that we could have been open in the fall had we been able to get the FSIS inspection. But until they finish their work validating the science, they won't be issuing any grants of inspection. And without that grant of inspection, we can't really operate.
Okay. Do you believe it'll happen in 2013?
Yeah, I do, because it was a very positive meeting. Mr. Amanza comes out of the Texas industry, was very, meat industry writ large, and he was familiar with both of the plants in Texas and complimented them, thought they were well run, and has no problem with what we're wanting to do and how we're trying to do it. So, I think they're just working their way through the process. And when they originally told us that, we're required by law to provide you inspection, then after they got into it and the European Union had changed their requirements in regards to drug residue somewhat, and so they felt like they were obligated to put together a different, more, rigorous, I guess, more rigorous drug residue testing protocol than they had in 2007. And that is what they said was taking them so much time.